Hey guys, welcome to the Fellowship Greenville Students Podcast. This week, you find us in a series called LLJD, which stands for Live Like Jesus Did. We are asking the question of what does it look like to live like Jesus as a middle schooler in a 2024 world. Follow along and we hope you enjoy this message. So good morning once again. If we haven't met, my name is Dallas. Thank you, Nathan. So you can see folks over there. Yes, is Dallas like Texas? Like the Cowboys, like the Stars, right, Ben? Just for you. Just for you. They won? It's hockey season already? Goodness. Crazy, crazy. Well, this morning we are starting a new series. So if this is your first time joining us or first time coming back in a while, you've come on the right week, I guess, because you haven't missed anything in this series so far. If you want to, you can turn your Bibles to John chapter 10. We're going to be reading one verse from John chapter 10 this morning and kind of talking about it for a little bit. But we're in a series called LLJD, which stands for Live Like Jesus Did. Is this somewhat of a take on WWJD? Well, of course it is. Okay, so it's our own little WWJD. Did we make bracelets for this, much like WWJD has bracelets? Yes, we did. We have them. I would have it on. I just grabbed one from out in the cafe. Because my wife made me take this off, believe it or not, for family pictures yesterday, okay? She said, take off that bracelet. It would not appear in the pictures. Maybe it didn't go with my outfit. I don't know what the deal was, but I just did what I was told because it's family pictures, and I'm trying to get out of there as quick as I can, okay? That's me. How many of you have taken family pictures with your family before? Yes. How many of you, like me, you're thankful for the pictures, okay? It's not what I'm saying, but if you never had to take family pictures again, it'd be all right. Like, if I could just get the picture without having to actually participate in the family picture situation, like, let's do that. We got ChatGPT giving us, like, things that are mixing us up, thinking it's Bible verses. Can't we have some sort of AI that does these pictures on my behalf, okay? My family can go, my boys actually enjoyed it, which is weird, okay? I don't know what's wrong with them, but I'm praying for them daily. And my wife likes it, so just crop me in there somehow. I don't know how that works. All right, so we're not talking about family pictures this morning. We are in this new series, though, LLJD, Live Like Jesus Did. So how many of you have ever had a What Would Jesus Do bracelet, the WWJD? Any of you? What about the He Would Love First? Anybody have that? H-W-L-F? Yeah. He Would Love First. That was kind of like your generation's WWJD, even though more of you just raised your hand, I think, for the WWJD. That was more like my generation's version of that, okay? But the whole idea is kind of like to give you a reminder in the moment, like wherever you are, because now you have this bracelet on with you wherever you are. You might not always have your Bible, like, strapped up with your Bible on you. You might not always have scripture pulled up on your phone. But if you're wearing this bracelet, it's meant to serve as a reminder. I think in some ways, all three of these are trying to accomplish the same thing. Serve as a reminder of, hey, like, in this moment, for our sake, in our series, what does it look like to live like Jesus did? Like, as you're in conversations with friends, or as you're spending time with your extended family, or as you find yourself in school and you're so frustrated by something that just happened, or as you're thinking through, hey, what are the things in my life that I'm good at and maybe are worth pursuing long term to go after, maybe even one day have as a job? What does it look like to live like Jesus did in your shoes here in a 2024 world? I think that in some ways, that's what all of these things are trying to accomplish. And so what we're going to be talking about in this series is just that. What does it look like to live like Jesus did? What did it look like for him in the scriptures as we open those? And in some ways, what does it look like to now translate that into a 2024 world that we find ourselves in today? And so it's this really, this big idea that in a lot of ways we were talking about when we were at Epic, which I know a lot of you were there and some of you were not, so maybe this will be a rehash, at least for this first week for some of you, but a catch-up for those of you who were not able to be there with us. But talking about this idea that we are called to be disciples of Jesus, or to be a follower of Jesus, if you were to maybe add some of your own definition or words to that, somebody tell me, what does it mean to be a disciple of something or someone? It doesn't even necessarily have to be like, oh, I know the biblical definition, but what does it mean to be a disciple? Does anybody want to take a jab? Yeah, Julia.
It's like a follower.
Yeah.
And in, like, the Christian circumstance, uh-huh. Like, you reach out to people about Jesus.
Okay, yeah, so it's a follower, and what you're getting at, I think, she said that you preach to other people about Jesus, like that you are kind of sharing who Jesus is with other people. So in some sense, you're kind of living like him. Like, you follow him. What does it mean that you follow him? That you actually do some of the things that he did, for sure. Anybody else want to add anything? What does it mean to be a disciple? That's right. That's some standard language. Yeah. Okay, someone that follows God or Jesus, for sure. Anybody else? It's okay. I think that, like, this is probably some of the most common language that we use. Yeah. Yeah. So you live like Jesus did and do what he's told you to do. That's great. That you're a disciple, that you're a follower. These are words that we kind of use interchangeably. Means that you would follow the teachings of someone or something, and that you would then kind of start to do those things, that it would become a part of your life. Here's kind of like what I think you guys are getting at without realizing you're getting at. But to be a follower or a disciple of really anything or anyone, here's what I kind of think it means. Is that to be a disciple is to be formed and shaped by someone or something. To be a disciple means to be formed or shaped by someone or something. Tech team, we got the definition that you can pop up on the screen. To be a disciple is to be formed and shaped by someone or something. So here's the deal. Disciple is a word that probably 99.9% of the time you've heard associated with Jesus and you've heard in the church. But for sure, you've heard the word follow or be a follower outside of church. And they kind of have the same kind of idea, that you would follow in a certain way, that you would be a disciple of a certain way. But that way, whether it's the way of a person, maybe it's Jesus, or maybe it's some social media influencer, or maybe it's a friend, or maybe it's a family member, that the ways of that person would start to form you and shape you into what? Somebody who probably looks a lot more like that person. Or it might be something, like you don't just have to be a disciple of a certain person, you might be a disciple of a certain thing. Like, for instance, whether you realize it or not, if you have a screen that you are in front of for any significant amount of time during the week, you are a disciple, a follower. You are being shaped and formed, think about that, by your device. And you're like, nah, I don't really think so. Like, the screen, the iPad or the Android pad, whatever they call that, the computer, my PC, my personal computer, my laptop, my phone, those would never betray me. No, you are being discipled. You are being formed. You're being shaped by what you put yourself in front of or who you put yourself around. And it may be happening kind of slowly, so much so that you can't quite put your finger on it. But if you asked people around you, they would say, oh, yeah, for sure. Let's put up some stats about technology and how technology is shaping us. I think it's kind of an easy one. Tech team, we got these stats back there. So this is about the average teenager in 2024 in America, okay? They spend, which is, I know some of you are preteens, but I would imagine you're pretty close. And you got, remember, this is not just computers. This is not just phones. This is not just tablets. This also includes television. Any kind of screen that you put yourself, does it include this screen right now? Maybe I'm doing this to you. So, on average, per day, 7 hours and 22 minutes and 49 seconds. Okay, just kidding. I don't know about the seconds. 7 hours. Think about how much time you spend on video games. By the way, I think boys on average spend about an hour more than girls. Because I know a lot of ladies, you guys play video games too, but boys tend to gravitate towards those. 45% of teenagers, almost half, feel overwhelmed by notifications. Okay, so at the very least, from these first two, you're spending a lot of time in front of screens. Is it forming and shaping you? Half, 45% say it's making me feel overwhelmed. You tell me that's not some kind of forming, shaping? Okay, fine. What about this? 25%, so that's 1 in 4, feel lonely or feel lonely often or always. And there's kind of some direct correlation connections to, hey, as you spend more time on technology or in front of screens, you feel more lonely. Is that a way that you've been shaped or formed? Do you, Would you even put yourself in that category? 25% have online FOMO. What's FOMO? Fear of missing out. Meaning, here's what that means, that one in four of you, part of the reason you keep checking your social media platform of choice, you keep checking your inbox, you keep checking your screens, you keep checking, is to make sure that you don't miss out on what's happening online. But now, maybe you haven't been shaped or formed by technology. Yeah, me neither. I don't ever feel that. as technology use has increased, you're now two times, again, this is talking specifically about teenagers, but I think this probably in some way, maybe not as high, applies across the board. You're two times as likely to be diagnosed with depression or anxiety than previous generations, but you haven't been formed or shaped. Here's the big idea. It's not necessarily to paint technology as an evil, although I think there are some not great things about technology. There's also some really awesome and helpful things, even some fun things, like our ChatGPT game kind of came out of technology, right? Here's the idea, though, is that technology, your friends, your family, anyone who is influential and anything who is influential in your life is molding and shaping and forming you in one way or another. You are a disciple of something or someone, whether you know it or not. And not just because you're in this room and because I get to use the word disciple, but anyone on earth is a disciple of something or someone. How do I know? Because we're all being formed in some way or some shape or some form. We are all changing. We're all being molded in some way by something or someone. So for you, here's kind of the big idea, big question for today. And in many ways for this series, who or what are you a disciple of? If everyone is being formed, shaped, molded by something or someone, then it might be helpful for you to know, who are you a disciple of? You can see it in technology. You can see it in friend groups. Let me give you an example. I think we all have a friend who we used to be friends with, but then they became a part of this other group, and you already knew, like, hey, the more they become a part of this other group, the more they're going to talk like them. Like, they're going to start saying skibbity toilet and W-Riz, and they're gone at that point. Some of you are groaning because you know they're gone. They're lost. As soon as those words come out of their mouth, boys, okay? Just kidding. I think those words are hilarious. I should never use them because they're not mine. But you know that that person became so quickly just like that group of people because they were molded, shaped. They were a disciple of like that group of people. And now, man, you couldn't be further from what your friendship used to look like. Like, we see this on a regular basis, but we don't often put a name to it. Oh yeah, they're a follower, they're a disciple, they're being shaped and formed by that group of people, that person, that thing. So if we all are disciples of something, then who or what are you a disciple of? That's a pretty important question for us in life in general, but certainly in this series. So Jesus, this is maybe the place where we see the word disciple used the most often, especially because you, if you're in this room, you're at least a churchgoer for this Sunday, and disciple is a word that we use a whole lot and that we see in the scriptures. Jesus actually invites us to be a disciple, to be a follower of his, to be shaped and formed by him and his ways, to take on his ways and to live like he did. Not like to go back in time and to live back then, but to live like he did in the here and now. And the kind of life he invites us into is one that he identifies as drastically different from anything else. And here's one of the ways that he does that in John 10:10. He's talking about himself as the good shepherd. He's a good leader. He's worth following. He takes care of his sheep, and he affectionately kind of calls us his sheep. Verse 10 of John chapter 10 says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they," talking about the sheep, talking about those who he would call, talking about those who are part of the kingdom family, talking about Christians, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Maybe a follow-up question, once you identify who or what is discipling you, a follow-up question, perhaps, maybe even kind of a two-parter, would be, How's that going for you? Like when you look at your life and you think about, okay, well, I know that this person or these people or this thing, maybe it's like a group of that. I think that's where I would say, if I'm being real honest, that that's what I'm being discipled by. I'm a disciple of those things or those people. Then when you look at your life and you see how they've shaped and formed you, is that a good thing? Is that a positive thing? Is that something that like a year ago, if you had told yourself, hey, this is who you're going to become a year from now, you would be like, yeah. Or do you find maybe in some ways, like Jesus talks about, he talks about the thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. Would you say that the way that you've been following, the people that you've been listening to, the way of life that you've adopted has actually led to less life, maybe some destruction, maybe some things being stolen, things that feel far more like what Jesus describes as, hey, that's actually the way of the enemy. That's what the enemy wants to do in your life. So how's that going for you? And if you're not quite sure yet, then let me ask a follow-up question to that. How do you think it might go for you? Like if you were to continue down the path that you're on, if you were to continue being molded and shaped and formed by the things that are doing that to you right now, how do you think that's going to end up a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now? Like what's the trajectory? Is it good things? Is it positive things? Is it things that your parents are trying to instill in you? Is it things that you think the Lord would call you into? Is it things that look like the way of Jesus, or is it things that look like something else? We'll talk a little bit more about that as we go through this series. But if the question of who or what is discipling you is clear, let me also make this incredibly clear. Jesus is inviting you into a life that he describes right here in John 10:10 as one that is abundant, one that is full, one that is life-giving, one that is energizing, one that includes things that he talks about like peace and rest and comfort and purpose and delight or joy. He invites us into those things, and maybe some of the tension and some of the reason that you're like, but is that true? Is because you haven't quite experienced it. Like this abundant life that Jesus is offering, if that's true, and if you're like, man, and the way I'm living right now is not leaning to any of that, I want what Jesus offers, but I don't know how to get there, then maybe this is the series for you. Maybe this is the series where you finally start to realize, oh, that's how I start to experience the life that Jesus offers. So that's what he even means by the abundant life. But this is just an opening to the series and a little teaser of what's to come. So if you want to know more about this life that Jesus offers, about the life that he lived, about the life that he invites us into, if you want to know more about what it looks like not to be molded and shaped by the things of the world, but to be molded and shaped and formed by Jesus himself, then stick around with us in this series, because the abundant life is as delightful and as incredible as Jesus says it is. It's one that's worth pursuing, but it's one that I think in a world that, like the one that we live in, you're being pulled in so many other directions that we've kind of missed, hey, what's actually the way that we're supposed to go in the first place? So we're going to talk about that over the next several weeks. A reminder of this question, I think it's worth us considering. Who or what is discipling you? Where has that taken, or where will that take you? And then maybe a final question. Do you want to follow Jesus and experience the abundant life that he offers? That's what we're going to be talking about over the next several weeks. Let me pray. Lord, thank you for not leaving us stuck. There's all kinds of things that in this broken world that we are being pulled towards, whether it's ideas about what our identity is, if it's ideas on what our purpose should be, if it's ideas on what does it look like to find meaning in this life. Whatever it is, God, there's all kinds of different places that the enemy is using to pull at us and to use to mold and shape us and distract us from the life that you've called us into, the abundant life that Jesus talks about. I pray that you would stir up thoughts in us, that we would be able to think clearly about the things that we are following, the ways that we are walking in, that you would help us to see how those aren't actually leading to the life that we want. Then on the flip side, help us to see that Your son offered us a path and offers us a path to true abundant life. Would we start to taste and see that, that's the way that we want over these next several weeks, maybe even this morning? We love you. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.